If you will, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. We're going to talk about a storm that met its match. A storm that met its match. 35, chapter 4 of the Gospel of Mark. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of his precious and eternal word. A storm is not necessarily an unusual thing. Most places in the world have storms. They have ice storms and snow storms in the Arctic. They have dust storms in the desert. And we have tornadoes and hurricanes in Virginia. They're all storms. And I have to tell you something about storms. They don't send you a card necessarily and tell you when they're coming. The Weather Channel tries. NBC and CBS and CNN and all the rest of them try. But most of the time, a storm hits you when you're not looking for it. Hits you when you're not prepared for it. Hits you at the least opportune time that you could possibly be hit by a storm. Yes, it'll blindside you. Do you think that Satan could kick up a storm? Well, I know he can. I've seen him kick up a storm in my life and some of your lives. He can kick up a physical storm in the world. He is the prince of the power of the air. If you notice some of the scriptures in the Revelation, you'll notice that Satan can kick up a physical storm in the world. Well, this storm was not all that unusual, but it was intense. It was worse than most storms on the Sea of Galilee. The reason I say it's not unusual to have a storm on the Sea of Galilee is for the same reason that we're having tornadoes now across America. There's a cold Arctic mass that comes down from the north, and there's this warm, moist Gulf air that comes up from the south, and when they get together, they can't agree what kind of weather we're going to have. So they just throw a fit and have tornadoes and all kinds of disturbances, hail and sleet and all kinds of things happen. And the temperature can drop immediately and raise back up in a few hours. It's remarkable what all can happen in the weather. And storms are destructive. We've seen a few dozen people killed in America this week by storms. The Sea of Galilee is surrounded by mountains. There's Mount Hermon and Mount Carmel. They're snow-capped all year long. They're so high. So you've got these mountains up here that has absolutely Arctic weather going on it. And you have the Sea of Galilee, a body of water that's 700 feet below sea level. This is a dramatic difference. Around the Sea of Galilee is a subtropic environment. The mountains that are around it are like the Alps or someplace else. So you get this air swooping down from the mountains onto the Sea of Galilee, and it creates a tempest. It creates a storm of intensity and velocity that you can hardly stand. If you feel the storm coming or see it coming, it would be stupid to go out on the sea. Yet in this story, we find that the disciples and Jesus are in a large ship, and that probably would not equal a good cabin cruiser today on the Sea of Galilee. But they're in a large ship on the sea, and there are smaller boats around them, fishing boats that have gone with them. They're out there because Jesus suggested that they go out there. He led them out onto the sea in the ship. You say, well, looks like he wouldn't have done that. Well, let's talk about it. It's a terrifying storm. Storm is so intense, it's about to upset the boats. It has pulled up so much water in the waves that they have filled the boats and they're like to sink. And I have to tell you, if I have to be in a storm, I would like it to be in the daylight. I hate the storms that come at night. They're terrifying. You can't see. You can hear the roar of the thunder and you can hear the roar of the wind, but you can't see what's going on, so you're caught in the middle of the storm at night. And they're in a particular bad place. I kind of like being sheltered up against the knob where we live in Pembroke, because most of the storms come from the west, and they sort of overblow us a little bit. They upset a tree once in a while or something. But they're not on land. They're on a six-mile course across the Sea of Galilee, and they're out in the midst of the sea. There's nothing to hold on to. I mean, they might hold on to the ship, but that's all, and that's not much comfort, is it? And so they're out in the sea. There's nothing to hold on to. There's nothing to grab onto. There's nothing to see. And I would guess the electricity was out on those boats that night, wouldn't you? So they have no light going on the boats. They probably had a lantern, and that wouldn't have been what you call a lantern. It would have been the kind of lantern with oil in it. The candles, by the way, had not been invented yet. So they had olive oil lamps, and that would have been out from the wind, from the waves, and from the water. Would have destroyed it. No land in view, 3 or 4 miles out in the sea, in the dark. And the boat is about to capsize. The boat is about to fill with water. And the master is in the back of the ship on a pillow asleep. They're going crazy. It's just awful. They have had a good day, but it's been a hard day. The Lord has been preaching in parables and teaching. You notice it says the same day. So if you look back into the scriptures, not only in Mark, but in Matthew and other places to this day, you discover that he had spent a day of intense. He said he taught them not at all unless he taught them with parables. He had taught them with parables that day. He had explained the parables that day. And he had cast out demons, a fierce demon out of a person. And he had had a hard day in other ways. He was rejected that day by his family, his friends, his mother and brothers and sisters came, and they wouldn't come in where he was preaching. They said, could you come out here? We need to talk to you. We need to talk to you about what's going on here. And what they said was, he's beside himself. Do you know what that means to say someone is beside themselves? Well, it means that I'm here and my brain's over there. And every once in a while that happens to me. I'm here and my brain's over there. In some way, I don't connect with it. I don't know which is to fault, me or the brain. But these people, these are his friends. This is the Virgin Mary, folks. This is the brothers and sisters of the Lord. They've lived with him. They know he's perfect. They think he's gone crazy. He's casting out demons. He's healing the sick. He's preaching. And they're embarrassed by him. They've invited him outside to kind of cool him down because he's beside himself. Now, I think one thing that makes them feel that way is that he is under the scrutiny of the scribes and the Pharisees, and they're saying he's got a devil. Said he casts out demons by the prince of demons. He has Beelzebub. They accuse him of having the prince of demons inside of him. So it's been a hard day. It's been a long day. He's preached. He's healed. He's ministered and given himself. And he's gone through rejection. How many of you like to be rejected? I didn't think I'd get a hand on that. I don't know anybody that enjoys being rejected. We hate being rejected. And it hurts worse if you're rejected by the people you love the most. I mean, Mary, well, she only saw the wise men come from the east, the shepherds come from the fields, and star appear overhead and angels in the sky. She only saw Gabriel, the angel, talking to her and had a baby by virgin birth. What's she doing in this crowd? And yet, having raised him for over 30 years, she sees him as her little boy, and she doubts that he ought to be carrying on like that. And his brothers and sisters, they see, our brother's just bringing disgrace on this family. He's out there preaching, he's worse than our cousin John the Baptist. And he's out there preaching and carrying on, and we need to calm him down. And then the religious leaders are accusing him of being a demon-possessed person. This is a hard time. This is a hard day. And when the day was over, he, Jesus, wanted to go out to sea. The crowds were so great, he needed some time for himself to recoup. I haven't learned that lesson, but I'm learning it. He needed some time for himself to re-strengthen, to recharge his batteries, to get himself going again. He spent a lot of time alone praying. When everybody else went home and went to sleep, Jesus went out somewhere and prayed and talked to his Father. And he wanted to go to sea. He wanted to get away. And we're going across to the country of the Gadarenes. It's 6 miles across there. He wants to go, and they go to sea in obedience to what Jesus said. Does he know there's a storm up on that mountain coming down? Do you think he does? Does he know that up on Mount Hermon and Mount Carmel that there is a storm brewing up in those ice fields and it's swooping down to take away the warmth of that Sea of Galilee? Does he know that their ship is going to get so far from land that there's no help or no hope or no nothing to grab onto? Does he know that they're going to be terrified and things are going to be awful and the times are going to be bad? Yes. He does know it. He knew what was in people's hearts. He knew what they thought. He knew events before they happened. Jesus knew that they were as a storm coming. Does he worry about the storm? Not hardly. Does he worry about dying in this storm? Not hardly. He has told them, let us go from here to the other side. He's already told them, I'm going to the other side. We're all going to the other side. And yet, he knows there's a storm on the way, and he leads them right into the storm. He leads them right into the wind. He leads them right into this place where the ship is going to sink and where everything is going down. And you know what? They were afraid. They were terrified. But wait a minute. They're the experts. This is Peter and James and John. This is the fishermen of the Sea of Galilee. They have fished this sea with their father Zebedee and their kin people all of their life. They are experts at maneuvering ships in the Sea of Galilee. They know the storms. They know the rocks. They know the shoals. They know the currents. They know everything there is to know about the Sea of Galilee. They are the experts. And when he says, let's go over, well, they don't worry about it. They know how to navigate. They know how to get across the sea. They know what they're doing. And so they take off, and there's a little phrase there and said, and they took him as he was. I wonder if you take Jesus as he is, or if you try to make Jesus into who you want him to be. They took him in their ship as he was, and he stepped on board. My friend, I have to tell you, that's the best thing that ever happened to them that day is when Jesus Christ stepped on board their ship. And I'm telling you, if you're trying to navigate the waters of life without the Lord Jesus Christ aboard on your ship, you're trying to do something impossible. If you don't have Him aboard on your ship, not the one that somebody talked about, but the take Him as He is. Take Him into your ship as He comes, as He is, and let Him ride the waves with you. My friend, that's where your answer is. Now, what happened? Well, they get Him a pillow. They put Him in the berth in the back of the ship. He goes to sleep. He's solid asleep. Maybe the way I was last night. I couldn't believe I slept through two telephone calls with the telephone next to the head of my bed last night. Fern said, "You didn't even wake up for the phone to ring." She answered the phone, had conversations and talked, and I never did know about it. And usually I'm the one that's awake. I'm the one that's grabbing for the phone, plumbing the other end of the house. But Jesus and I had something in common. I was so tired last night. And Jesus, we see His humanity here as much as we see Him anywhere else in the Scripture. There are times we see Him hungry and we see Him thirsty. There are times we see Him stressed. And right now we seem tired. He is just so tired from the day that He lays down and recharges His batteries and goes to sleep. Now, while He's asleep, a great windstorm comes. Storms always come with wind, don't they? And here comes the wind down off of Mount Carmel, down off of Mount Hermon, down onto the Sea of Galilee. It whips up the waves. It whips up the sea. The ships are going up and down. The sails are being torn. The mast is falling down. And the waves are so high, they're coming over the ship. And the ships are filled with water till they can't get out. Now, there's some feeling among some religious people that once you become a Christian and once you take Jesus into your ship, that everything's all right. That, I mean, you're never going to go through anything again. You're going to be good. There's a whole raft of people on TBN and other places preaching a prosperity gospel. You know, if you're not healthy, wealthy, and wise, it's because you don't have any faith. If you're not reaping the riches of the Gentiles, it's because you don't have any faith. A.A. Allen used to preach all the time that he'd give you the riches of the Gentiles to be yours. And the thing of it was, people were eating that up, and he was an alcoholic up in the pulpit preaching. I mean, think about, man, you need to know who you're listening to. Scripture said, know them that labor among you. Isn't that what it says? Know them that labor among you. So if you know all those television preachers, know they're living right and know how they're doing, why, go ahead and send your tithes and offer to it and rob your local church. Boy, if that isn't a local pastor preaching, I never heard it. Amen. Well, let me tell you something, folks. They preach a deliverance gospel that says we're practically that we're exempt from the, I mean, I heard it preached when I was a kid too. If you're sick, it's because you don't have enough faith to be healed. If you go pray and you don't get healed, it's because you don't have enough faith. It's always your fault, so you're always downtrodden. Let me tell you something. When Jesus comes into your ship, He has not promised you that you will not get in the storm. He's promised to stay on your ship. He's promised to ride it out with you. But He has not promised that you will never be in the storm. You are not exempt. You're going to get the flu. You're going to get tonsillitis. You're going to get the big toe infection. You're going to get the lumbago, the arthritis, the bursitis, the neuritis, and all the rest of the ritis, boys. They're going to jump on you. And you're going to die. You're going to get sick, and this body is going to wear out, and you're going to die. You may do it earlier, you may do it later, but you will do it. Now, we can't think that we're there, but the thing of it is, His presence in the storm. You say, well, He was silent. Yes, but the wind and the waves and the boat was full, and He was asleep on the pillow because He was tired and He was resting. I think the devil kicked up this storm. I really do. I think the devil thought, if I can sink that ship, Christ will die from drowning and that'll be the end of it, and he won't get to Calvary. I think Satan sent down this storm and whooped up this sea and did all this and trying to destroy Christ. Christ is not alarmed because it's not time to die yet. And he's not going to sink in the ship. I can tell you, if Christ had not been on board this ship, it would have sunk. This ship would have sunk. But Christ is on board. And if you think it's terrifying on the ship with Christ in it, what about those other little boats out there? And they don't know what's, they don't have walkie-talkies or cell phones. They don't know what's going on over there on that ship. They don't know about Christ being asleep. They don't know anything. And finally, they run back and say, can you believe that? He's sleeping through this whole thing. Here we are dying, and Jesus is back there asleep. Now, they've seen him perform 100 miracles, at least. They've seen him raise the dead. They've seen him open the blind eyes. They've seen him cleanse the lepers. They've seen him do wonderful things. But there he is asleep. He don't care that we're sleeping. He's not paying any attention at all. So they run back there. Wonder if you've ever felt like this in the middle of a storm. Lord, don't you care? How many of you would be honest and thank you if you've ever thought that? Right. Lord, don't you care? Lord, the tempest is raging. Lord, the waves are high. Lord, the boat's full of water. Lord, the wind is blowing. Lord, we can't see land. We have no light. We don't know what we're due. Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? I don't know if they thought he was going to perish or not. They didn't ask him anything about him dying. They said, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? And Jesus woke up and sat up and stood up and stood up on the edge of the boat and raised his hands to heaven and looked at the wind and said, peace. Thought of a song you sing, Deronda, when I said. And he looked at the waves and he said, be still. And you know what the Bible said? And suddenly there was a great calm. The ocean or the Sea of Galilee was just like glass. I expect the moon come out that night special and shine. The wind quit blowing. The waves quit moving. And Jesus is standing in the midst of his disciples. And you say, what else did he say? Do you really want to know? He said, why were you afraid? Why were you afraid? I think that hits me this morning, don't it? Why are you afraid, Eddie? Have you ever been afraid? I don't mean when a tractor trailer's coming at you or you're caught on the railroad track and the train's coming down. Just afraid. Have you ever been afraid in a storm? God, how am I going to get out of here? What is it? I heard the ambulance going the other day, and they were going for somebody who was having an anxiety attack. Don't make fun of people that have anxiety attacks. They're very real. They're very scary. They're very horrible. And people need release from them. And Jesus is saying, why were you afraid? Don't you know I was on board? He doesn't say that. But after all, he's just cast out a fierce demon that day. They've just seen him heal any number of people. They've seen him raise the dead. They've heard him preach the gospel. And he's on board. And there he says, why were you afraid? Did you think Satan was going to drown me? Do you think this is going to be the end? But the waves and the wind and the storm and the hopelessness of the situation. And then he says, where was your faith? Why did you not have faith? Why did you not believe? Why did you not trust that it would be so? You know what they did? They did what we all do. Well, Lord, I've tried everything else. Lord, I've been to every doctor in the world. I've talked to every psychiatrist that there is. Lord, I've been to every bank that's available and the credit union too. And Lord, I just don't see any way. So Lord, I had to come to you. Lord, you're all I've got. I've got no one else to come to. You're trying to insult God? God, I call on you last. God, I call on everybody else first. I call on the banker and I call on the mortgage broker and I call on the doctor and I call on the psychiatrist and I call on my grandma. and I've tried all my kin people, and I can't get help anywhere else. So, God, I'm going to call on you now. And you think God's going to be impressed with that, I guess. I guess you think that God's going to say, oh, that's wonderful. You saved me to last. I'm the best. You think God's really going to think that? Why don't we call on God first? I think I've told you this story. We had a lady at the funeral home one night with her family. She's a sister to Sister Shaver that comes here. She and her husband were state overseers for the Church of God of Prophecy. I mean, they covered a big territory. Wonderful, godly, holy people. And their little grandson fell and hit his head and put a big pumpkin knot on it. And Sister Una used to be with Robert years ago. She was wringing her hands and said, oh, call 911, call the ambulance, call a doctor. And she was ringing, and I said, Sister Una, of course it wasn't my grandchild. I said, Sister Una, let's pray. Oh, yes, Brother Eddie, pray. That's right, let's pray. Isn't that the way most of us are? I mean, I'm not saying that to put Una down. She's a fine woman of God, let me tell you. But let me tell you that we human beings tend to do that. We trim the sail. We hold up the mast. We bail water. We do everything we know to do to make the ship run. And finally, we go to the back of the ship and we call on Jesus. And then when we get there, we try to accuse Him. Don't you care anything about us? Don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care we're going down? Herb used to sing an old song sometimes here, Does Jesus Care? Remember that old song? I saw one of those Gaither boys singing that the other day in one of the videos. And the chorus says, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. He cares enough to be near. And you know what? They'd been scared to death all night. We're going to drown. We're going to fall overboard. We're going to go under. The ship's going to go. We're going to lose everything and our life. They had been terrified all night of everything. They had been afraid, and they're still afraid. But now they're down on their knees. You remember, Lucille, you probably remember, we used to sing a chorus, Tell Me What Kind of Man Jesus Is. You remember that chorus, any of you? Tell Me What Kind of Man Jesus Is. I think Rush would lead us in singing it. He spoke to the wind, and the wind did obey. He spoke to the blind, and the blind did see. Spoke to the deaf, and the deaf did hear. Tell me what kind of man Jesus is. And they're saying, what kind of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey Him? Do you realize who this storm was for? It wasn't for Jesus. He just needed to sleep. It wasn't for the general population of the world. You know who it was for? It was for these disciples who believed in Him. It was to solidify their faith. It was so that they would know that Jesus Christ was the matchmaker of this storm. This storm had met its match in Jesus Christ. Only God could speak to the wind and the waves and make it all right. I want to ask you this morning, is He on board your ship? Have you taken the Lord Jesus Christ on board your ship? Is He riding with you? It won't mean your ship won't get in a storm, but when it does get in a storm, my friend, that's the man I want on board my ship. Because everybody's ship gets in a storm once in a while. There's nobody out here in the world. I mean, I don't care whether you're saved or a saint or a hell-bound sinner. My friend, the truth is that everybody has storms in their life. Everybody has terrors in the night. Everybody has dangers that lurk and overpower them and things that creep up on them and suddenly grab them. I mean, all these things happen in every life. I mean, to people that's going to hell and to people that's going to heaven. But I have to tell you, if I have to be in a storm, then I want Him on board my ship. When I was at Landmark Baptist Temple in Cincinnati, the choir used to have a favorite song to sing, and I love that song. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. My brothers and sisters, if you're going to be afraid of God. Fear God who can calm the storms, speak to the wind, talk to the waves. Fear God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can take care of you in the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. Father, I give you praise and glory and honor this morning, thanking you, God, for your great blessings and your great mercies. Thanking you, God, for every storm you've brought us through and for every time you've listened to our entreating. Father, I thank you this morning that you're on board my ship. You're on board Bethel Chapel ship. And God, I thank you that there's so many people here this morning that you're on board their ship. And Lord, if there's anybody here who doesn't know for sure that Christ is on board their ship, I pray you'll touch their heart, touch their soul. And Lord, not just those here, but those who listen by radio, and those who will be listening by CDs, those who will be listening on the World Wide Web. God, I know the Holy Ghost can move on those hearts that listen to this. And God, it'll fall on people's ears whose the storms of life are raging, and you'll tell them, you'll stand by. Lord, if there's anybody that hears this message that is not saved and does not know for sure you're on board, I pray you'll speak to them this morning, and wherever they hear this and whenever they hear it, that your gospel will draw them to you, and they'll open the way for you to step on board their ship. These favors we ask in Jesus Christ's holy name. To him be glory forever, world without end. Amen. As we sing the closing hymn, and this is a wonderful song after this message, I'd like to talk it over with him. How many of you got things you need to talk over with the Lord? Yes. Amen. Well, when you're in a storm, you've probably got a lot of things to say to him. I wouldn't yell at him. I'd just talk to him. He's a little bit too big for you to yell at. Would you stand as we sing? Don't forget, we have a Sunday evening service and a Wednesday evening service, and we're doing studying comparative religion on Wednesday evenings, and you might learn something from an old country preacher. And we'd like to have you come out. Father, we pray now the benediction of your Spirit, the power of your grace, and the love of the Holy Ghost will go with us and keep us, sanctify us, and bless us. In Christ's name, amen.